T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mullen and Hadley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is John Lester after the loss yesterday. And let's get out to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has air conditioning performance checks starting at $19.99. And there we find the Cubs pitching coach, Chris Bosio. Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, and looking forward to an afternoon game. Love those early starts, and you guys are already up and getting ready. You know, you look at a team like Tampa coming in, Chris. How difficult is it when you're playing an opponent that you don't normally see, and you got to get the scouting book together, and you got to figure out a game plan? Is it make it easier when you have obviously veteran guys like Lester and Lackey?
Well, you know, there's an unknown there. There's some familiarity with some of the guys that we faced when Tampa was here, you know, a couple of years ago. They're a more rounded team. They're a more mature team. Very athletic. But, yeah, there's that kind of mystery behind them, because some of the young guys that they have, they just, you know, haven't gotten a lot of at-bats. And they've got some bounce-back veteran guys that are having big years, and one of them, Morrison, we didn't even see yesterday.
You know, Chris, yesterday you just heard John Lester talking about he'll take 8 of 9 hits there, ground balls to the infield, and one goes off his leg, and you know, he said he regrets that it even touched him, because the play could have been made. But you know, just talking about every mistake is now you're paying for it as a pitcher and a pitching staff. Where's the frustration level with your guys in particular, because they almost need to be near perfect or as good as they can be when the offense isn't providing the support it did last year?
Well, I mean, you can really only do what you can do once you have the ball in your hand. And, you know, we teach pitch efficiency and getting ground balls. And you know, it seems like last year we had them played perfect. And this year, I think yesterday again, there was, I want to say, 2 or 3 more infield hits. It seems like we give up 2 or 3 infield hits every game, and we just didn't see that a lot last year. And, you know, but that's the rigors of a season. And that's what a difference a season can make. It is frustrating. You know, because we've seen, you know, how good our defense can be. But when those balls are hit perfectly in between guys and in spots where, you know, where nobody, you know, is, you know, for example, yesterday their pitcher hitting, the American League pitcher. Now, granted, he's an athlete, but you know the bunt, foul ball, swing. You know, for 100 years, that's probably a double play ball, and this one rolls into right center for a double. You know, it's just the way things are going, and we bounce back again today.
The last time we talked, Chris, Miguel Montero was still your backup catcher. He was cut, I believe, later in the day, and now, of course, he is no longer around, and he's with the Blue Jays now, and he was DFA'd after that. And, you know, I thought it was interesting after Lackey's, was it his last start, where he said that, you know, hey, we need veteran guys here. We need, you know, guys that have been through it. You know, young players have a lot to learn. We all know that. You know, there's all sorts of rumors about a veteran guy coming in. Do you need a veteran guy? Do you agree with that assessment of John Lackey's?
Well, if you do look back, you know, a lot of the rosters that have success in postseason, I can't ever think of one that had 2 first-year catchers. So, yeah, I mean, veteran guys know what they're talking about because they've been around. So I'm not going to disagree with it. Just it's really tough to win with a lot of, you know, guys that have been here for the first time. We last year we had an exceptional year with a lot of first-year players. But some of those guys got their feet wet the previous year. So just a little bit different because some of them were out of necessity with injury. You know, but nevertheless, you still got to go out there and you still got to play because the other team certainly not going to feel sorry for you, especially the kind of season that we had last year.
Speaking of John Lackey, Chris, 22% of his fly balls end up as home runs. And when you get a guy at that point of his career or that age, you wonder if it's the stuff that he's kind of missing or starting to decline a bit, or is it something mechanical? But obviously, this is not the season he had anticipated nor anyone had. How does that get corrected, or does it get corrected, or is it just, you know, at this point in for his career, this is the type of pitcher he is?
Well, you know, I look around the league and see what's going on with these home run totals.
Right.
That's more interesting to me than the fact that Lackey being a strike thrower and I'm coming at you mentality has given up some home runs. Balls are flying out of the park at a record pace. You know, we've heard about the juice ball. We've heard there's a lot of pitchers around the league that have had, you know, arm issues, finger issues, blister issues, broken nail issues. So, you know, there's some stuff going on that we haven't seen the last couple of years, and all we can do is try to adjust to it. But when you pitch your certain way, and it's worked for a large part of his career, all of a sudden that down and away fastball is going 10 rows up, you know, on a 45-degree day at Wrigley in a 15-mile-an-hour wind. It's kind of a head-scratcher. So, but it's happening all over the league. It's not just here. There's a lot of pitchers giving up a lot of long balls this year, and they're asking the same questions that you guys are.
You know, it's interesting, Chris, because we talk to you about the slippery ball and the idea that that Jake was having a hard time holding on to it, and you said that's a conversation you'd had with other pitching coaches around the league, and we talked to Peter Gammons, and Peter was saying that he's talked to a bunch of people about this very issue that you're talking about, and he said that he's got one of the balls, and you can feel like the laces are it's like it's a harder lace, and he says he's got old baseballs in his office, and he sits there, and he feels the difference in them, and it's got to be something. There's something going on because, as you say, not only all the home runs and all that, but all the blisters and all the other issues just gripping the thing.
Well, that's my job, to try to stay ahead of the thing. And I've had conversations with multiple pitching coaches already about this. They're also compiling information, you know, regarding this. You know, is this are injuries a result of the baseball change? I mean, I don't know. All I can do is listen. All I can do is ask. All I can do is, you know, I got a bunch of baseballs, you know, from the last 2 years here at my place, and they're noticeably different. So is there something there? Yes. Has it popped up in our clubhouse? Yes. Has it popped up on other teams? Yes. Have other pitching coaches, have other sports writers, columnists, journalists talked about it? Yes. So I think there's enough there to get people's attention. So now I just don't know what course we take on this.
Yesterday, Chris, John Lester said he would welcome, you obviously don't want to send your guys packing to another team, but he would welcome whatever additions the front office could bring to the team because the team could use a boost. And he's talked about the frustration of having three or four good games as a team and then three or four going the other direction and wondering when it's all going to come together. And Chris Bryant also said, you know, yeah, bring it on. We'd love to have some trade or some addition here to give us a boost. Is that a good thing to hear guys talking about wanting help from the outside, or is that indication that they're frustrated because, you know, a month ago it seemed like everyone said the answers were here on the current roster?
Well, a month ago I think that was right before the time we had some of our on the disabled list. For the past at least 3 weeks, we've had a lot of young players come up from Iowa trying to step in. And, I mean, they were rewarded because of their play. And when you throw a bunch of first-year guys out there, there's going to be a learning curve. And whether it's in the pitching staff or multiple position players that we brought up, you know, it's tough to win a major league game. It's tough to win a major league game when you've got veteran players on there. It's even tougher when you got first-year guys that don't know the league, don't know the pitchers, the umpires. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on there, and a lot easier said than done. But, you know, this team will do what we need to do, and if they don't feel like we need to do anything, then we're going to have to go with what we have. That's our job, is try to win with what we, you know, have in that clubhouse. So, you know, I can appreciate their comments, but my job's not going to change if we do or if we don't. You know, and I'd probably agree with that comment, whoever said that, is we got to try to figure that out. And if we're able to make a trade to help, then great. But we got to try to figure out with the group that we have, healthy or not, that's the cards we're dealt.
Chris, we'll let you go. Congratulations. You'll be coaching in the All-Star game, and Wade Davis is there. Any update on Kyle? Any idea on Kyle Hendricks, when he'll be back? Is it possible before the All-Star break or after?
Kyle's progressing. He's doing well. They want to make, you know, completely sure that this thing doesn't pop up, but he threw yesterday, threw very well, and today we're going to see how he feels today, and then it's an evaluation period every time he plays catch or throws a side, and then we'll probably schedule him for a start and see what happens. But, you know, it's a day-to-day thing when guys are injured. You know, it's really important how they bounce back the next day, and Kyle's no different.
So he threw a side and didn't just play catch yesterday, right?
Yeah, it was a side.
And he'll need a rehab start, I imagine.
I'm sure he'll probably need, you know, one or two. It just depends how he feels today when he comes to the park. I mean, you know, yesterday was a beautiful day. It was warm. We had a day game, and he did all his treatment and everything seemed good until he left. But again, we'll evaluate how he is today and then go from there and hopefully plan this thing out.
All righty, Chris, thank you. Best of luck.
Thank you.
That's Chris Bosio, the Cubs pitching coach.
Our visit with Chris brought to us by Rosen Genesis, introducing the new Genesis G80 at rosengenesis.com.
312-644-6767. It is a lot going on with the baseball. A lot of balls flying out of major league parks, and interesting that the guys around the league are talking about it, and Chris is looking at it the same way you are. Mully and Haley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Haley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. Are you getting threatening calls from White Sox fans, Dustin? Is that why you were cautioning the Sox fans that you gave the update? Is that
well? They're very particular. The texters and over the course of my travels this weekend,
a lot of people coming at you.
Well, you know, you do that and you do it okay. Nobody says you do it well or you do it fine. You do it okay,
right.
But why don't you give the times of the games? If it's a schedule, a schedule. You need to know the time of the game as well. So for all of those people, I just wanted to make sure everybody was paying attention there, and I gave that to them.
You can hear the anger. That you have to do that, but that's okay.
It's no, good. I serve our listeners.
We miss the anger.
Yeah, you're happy about
that. It was
that.
Tough.
Did you? There's no edge there at all.
No,
yeah.
Not at all. And, you know, we talked this morning about things to be encouraged about with the White Sox, and one of the things that we should mention that we haven't mentioned is they've got the three players in the Futures game. So Yoan Moncada, who is a hair away from coming up, and he's back to what he was doing earlier in the year after suffering the injury and missing a little bit of time, and now he seems like he's back and on his way back up. He was the MVP of that game last year, so he obviously with Boston, representing Boston. Now he will be back in that game with Chicago. And then Michael Kopech, of course, will also be in the game. And I don't want to disregard what Kopech has done, but there is a sort of, you know, carnival sideshow element to a guy that can throw as fast as he is.
Yes.
And that's one of the – now he's, you know, Moncada, according to MLB, their prospect list, Moncada's number one and Kopech's number two. So that's nice that they get two. But they got a third, and that's the guy I'm really interested in seeing, and that is Zach Collins, who is listed as their number seven overall prospect. But he is also in that game, and I'm curious to see if people try to run on him, about how he handles that, how what kind of catcher he is, because we know that he's supposed to be an elite offensive player. So it's good. And, you know, it's fun to see the guys like, you know, Louis Robert in the Dominican League hit a home run and is taking a lot of walks. That's the big story out of there. I guess it's hard to hit a homer down there. Did you hear this stuff? That it's so humid and the ball doesn't, you know, the ball basically, it goes up in the air and then it just dies. It just falls down. So it's kind of the anti-Wrigley.
What would have been really interesting to see Benintendi in a White Sox uniform. I don't know how far those conversations went.
I don't think they went far enough, and I don't think they got him. So dealing with what you have.
Did you see what he did last night?
Kopech, yes.
Oh, my good Lord.
Why are you wishing away fun, positive Sox talk? Dustin's people are going to come after you, Hanley.
I just like, because we know that they asked for Benintendi, and I don't know how.
Moncada, let's give him a chance. Right. Let's bring him up and see.
Yeah.
No, you don't like Benintendi?
No, Moncada's fine, but Benintendi, man, you talk about a five-tool player. I think he qualifies.
So you got Moncada, Kopech, Robber, then Lucas Giolito's number four. Then Ronaldo Lopez, who might be the first one. He's number five. Fulmer's number six. Jesus. And Zach Collins, number seven. So that's Zach Birdie. And then Basabi. And then Alec Hansen. And your number 11 is Dane Dunning, and he's doing well.
Yeah.
So he's number 11. So, you know.
Things to be encouraged.
Give me the yo, as I like to say.
You go 11 deep on prospects. That's pretty good.
Well, and then they got Spencer Adams, and then they got Charlie Tilson. Whatever happened to Charlie Tilson? Is he going to be okay?
He's hurt again, actually.
He had a setback. Boy, that's just
really sad. I know. Local kid.
He was going to start, too, it looked like.
I know.
It's too bad for him.
I feel bad for him.
We met
his father and in the great family, and, you know, feel bad that he's not available. Lifelong Sox fan, right?
Yeah.
So
I think we jinxed him. We had him on Inside the Clubhouse right at the beginning of spring training, and then he got hurt right away. So I think that was it. We're in the Northwestern Football Update studio. I'm Mike Esposito. Join Coach Fitz and Chicago's Big Ten team at Ryan Field this fall. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Cubs will try to salvage a split of their short two-game series with Tampa this afternoon at Wrigley Field. 12:45 for Mark Grody's pregame with John Lackey facing Blake Snell. Yesterday, Tampa beat the Cubs 6-5. They got 5 in the fourth off of John Lester, who takes the loss. He is now 5-5. Chris Archer, the win for the Rays. The Cubs have lost 5 of 7. They're 3.5 behind the Brewers in the division as Milwaukee won yesterday. Also, a programming note here is Joe Maddon, the Cubs skipper, will be on with Spiegel and Parkins at 11. White Sox fall in Oakland yesterday, 7-6. The final, Franklin Barreto, a walk-off homer off of Tommy Kahnle in the ninth. Sox had tied it in the top half of the ninth on a Melky Cabrera RBI single. Cabrera and Abreu with homers yesterday. Mike Pelfrey pitches for the Sox today. Sonny Gray for Oakland, 2:35 for the first pitch in that one. NBA news, Boston will get free agent Gordon Hayward. The deal is 4 years and $128 million. Derrick Rose meeting with the Clippers today in free agency. Sacramento agrees to a 3-year, $57 million deal with George Hill and a 2-year, $24 million deal with Zach Randolph. Clippers also active yesterday. They get Danilo Gallinari in a sign-and-trade. Jamal Crawford and Diamond Stone heading to Atlanta in that. Crawford is said to be seeking a buyout from the Hawks there, so he could go back to L.A. Restricted free agent Otto Porter from the Wizards signs a 4-year offer sheet with Brooklyn worth $104 million. The Wiz have 48 hours to match that. And Marcus Kruger, just traded from the Hawks to Vegas, is now headed from Vegas to Carolina in a trade. The opening bell brought to you by Cornerstone National Bank and Trust Company, where you belong. The markets, of course, closed yesterday due to the 4th of July holiday. I'm Mike Esposito. You're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. Next Cubs game on The Score this afternoon, 12:45, when the Cubs take on the Rays. On 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. One of the few goals for Marcus Kruger when he was with the Blackhawks, but a great two-way player and guy that did a lot of good stuff, and he gone. Brian Hedger joins us on the Car X Tire and Auto Hotline. Your Car X man has air conditioning performance checks starting at $19.99. Brian, of course, NHL.com and The Athletic. Will you now petition to be a beat writer in Carolina, Brian?
Join the old crew?
Well, it's always there for me, right? we're systematically putting all these guys there for a reason, and I think that's the reason.
Is the reason that the Carolina Hurricanes think that the blueprint the Hawks had that worked so well for all these years is still pertinent and relevant, even though it seems like Stan Bowman said, not so much, we got to change some things up?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest with you. I have no idea, why, all these guys keep ending up in Carolina. But I know Eddie Elchek's brother's there as the assistant GM. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. But, obviously the Blackhawks do a lot of right things. They get a lot of good players, and when they can't afford their players, why not capitalize them on them if you're the Hurricane?
I'm just curious. We asked the question this morning, and I don't think we got an answer from anybody that made sense to me. Are the Hawks better now than they were? Are they closer to a Stanley Cup or farther away?
And you're expecting a better answer out of me.
I just think everyone's kind of confused
there's a lot of change here.
Did
obviously.
They overreact? Where was that team really at? They looked like world beaters for a while there toward the end of the year, and then they get in the playoffs and swept.
Well, this is a great question, because I think you're right. I think the reason you're getting many definitive answers is because exactly what you said. There's been so much stuff going on. I feel like my head's spinning here with all of the moves that have been made. It wasn't too long ago, a couple weeks ago, was it, where people were like, oh, so a few coaching changes and, like trading Darling. I guess that's the big shakeup that, Bowman was talking about, right? And then all of a sudden, everybody's gone, It's like, oh, my God, this is crazy. There has been so much turnover. And, guys, it was a couple days ago. I started, compiling all the guys that have left via trade and free agency since they won the Cup in 2015. I'm like, it's got to be a lot, right? It was like 27 guys. Now, they're not all stars. They're not all good. But, that's a lot of turnover. An average of 9 guys leaving town via trade and free agency for the last 3 years. It's hard to win that way because of consistency. Guys are getting to know each other and that kind of thing. Just the simple stuff like that. So you have a ton of turnover now, again. But
this one wasn't just about cap issues. This one was Stan Bowman saying, we're going to make some changes because, we got swept this year. We were a first-round exit last year, and that's unacceptable. And, here comes Brandon Saad to help Jonathan Toews to be the best player he can be. And, Brian, I does that mean that he's willing to take a step back this year to reopen another Stanley Cup championship window maybe two years from now?
We asked that of John McDonough, and he got mad. He said that I said something like a reboot, and he was like, no, change. That's it. It's not a rebuild or a reboot.
But you're adding a lot of young guys.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's any less pressure from John McDonough and the front office on Stan, on Q. I don't think there's any less pressure on them to win next year. I think there's pressure to kind of shake it up a little bit. And they shook it up a lot. And, honestly, the more I think about this, this could definitely work. And if you look at what they did on Saturday, they already had a bunch of bottom six forward type guys. But what did they do? They brought in 3 veterans to this. Yeah, I know Boma, people aren't real excited about him because of his numbers and this and that, and Wingles is a local kid. But, I mean, Wingles has played in the playoffs,
yeah,
like 4 or 5 years in a row, you know? So, like, he's got some experience in that bottom six role. And I think that that they looked at it and said, look, we have some talented young players, but we can't go into the playoffs like next year with a bunch of young guys again, like a bunch of rookies anyway again. I mean, because you go in next year, let's just assume they make the playoffs next year. I guess, you know, you can never assume that in any sport, whatever, but especially the NHL now with all the turnover. But let's just assume they make the playoffs. They go in. I mean, next year now, you know, Nick Schmaltz is at least had 1 year of the playoffs under his belt, and so has Hartman, and, you know, Hinostroza got into there a little bit. So at least you have some guys who've done it, at least had a little taste of it before, whereas this year, I mean, they went into it, and they had a bunch of guys who were just, this was their first experience in the playoffs, and I think that was part of the reason for what happened. Not all of it, but I think that was part of it, and I think it showed. So we'll see. I mean, are they better? I think it's impossible to know that right now until we get down, you know, real far into the season. But, you know, here's another thing I wanted to say, though, is, you know, there was all this change and there's all this pressure to make change. And, you know, what happened wasn't acceptable. And I agree with all that stuff. But I think sometimes we're forgetting that this team did have the highest points in the regular season in the Western Conference, and even though that didn't amount to a hill of beans last season, it's not like it was a team that struggled to get into the playoffs and then got swept. I mean, this was a team that was pretty darn good for a big part of the year in the Western Conference, and to me that means that they had something going. So, I hope for their sake that they didn't make too much change. You know what I mean?
And the change, I mean, Stan's the guy that fueled the change, right? Is Joel happy with that? I mean, and we always hear everybody's in lockstep and all that, but didn't Joel walk out of the...
The draft, he said, look, yes, I was not happy about Mike Kitchen being fired, and we still don't know how much input he had on the changes in the coaching
staff. I can't imagine
him
liking Jarmelson gone, you know?
No.
He didn't come out and tell us that when we talked to him, but there was some body language going on when we were talking about him and just some of the things he said reading between the lines. And just anecdotally, some things I've heard from people here and there that he's not real happy, especially with the Jarmelson thing. That did not please him a whole lot. But when giving up Panarin, that kind of thing, you know, as well. What are you going to do at that point, you know? And like you said, it all kind of started with the Mike Kitchen thing. Which he did address that one, like you said. I mean, he just said, like, I wasn't real happy. And his answer was, you know, I've moved past it, but, you know, it does make you wonder, like, has he moved past it, you know?
So which of these younger guys will you expect to be impact players this year if, in fact, they're going, if, you know, John McDonough doesn't want to hear that they're retooling or rebooting, if they're going to be a legitimate Western Conference contending type team? Which of these young guys have to step up? I'm not talking about Brandon Saad. I'm talking about maybe some of the guys we're not too well aware of.
You're not talking like a Nick Schmaltz, because I think I
right. No, not the guys who were here, but some of the additions.
Well, Murphy, number one, right?
Murph. I gotcha. Well, you know, that's going to be the big question, especially in training camp, because that might be another reason why they went out and signed a guy like Lance Boma. You know, a guy like Tommy Wingles, because they come in, and now if you're one of these young guys we don't know much about, I mean, you better step it up to make the roster at this point, because odds are you're not going to step into a top six role, right, if you're a forward. So that means there's bottom six roles out there, and those guys are bottom six players, but they have a lot more experience than you do. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the roster looks like going into opening night. You know, who's going to, make it among those bottom six guys. So, you know, I don't know. Everyone's going to bring up DeBrincat, Alex DeBrincat, and he had a great season, great career, great junior career for the
61 Erie goals or something, was it?
Yeah, I mean, he was scoring so many goals, I literally couldn't keep up with him. I would have to, and assists and everything else, and And then the thing with him is he's another guy who's extremely small, like extremely small. Like when you see him, you're going to be like, whoa. But, you know, anymore in the NHL, seems like that doesn't really matter a whole lot the way the game is opened up. And if you can skate a little bit and you can think the game and get to the right areas, you can score goals. So, I mean, he's going to be the one that everyone brings up.
He's got a grown man's beard.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for
just
sure.
Remember the Young Hawks when they couldn't even grow any hair? And,
yeah,
you know, Taser was Wolverine, and Kane just had a little – this guy's got, like, a full grown man's beard.
Well, Kane actually had to go to the mullet, remember? Because he couldn't
yes.
grow a beard.
Take your eye off that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the reason he went to the mullet, because he couldn't – now he can actually grow a beard,
yeah.
You know, like – So that's how long I've been around.
Speaking of Kane, who helps him out now that Panarin's gone? How does that dynamic play out?
Well, you know, according to Twitter, it's, you know, a complete, you know, nightmare. There's nobody that can play there except for Schmaltz, and I completely disagree. I think a lot of this is going to depend on the other guy we haven't talked about yet coming back, Patrick
right.
Sharp.
Right.
But I think it's going to depend on his hip and how his skating returns. Like, if he can come back and kind of get past the hip injury. I love how everyone just writes off a guy who's 35 years old. Oh, he's 35 years old, he's done. Well, I mean, Hossa wasn't really done at 35, and neither was Jágr and some other guy. Now, those guys, you can say they're exceptions to the rule, but I think if you can play the game and you can think the game, you can kind of compensate for maybe losing half a step in your mid-30s because you know where to be and you know where to go. And here's a guy who came in here and played 10 seasons with the Blackhawks and has spent plenty of time playing with Patrick Kane, and who, despite the fact he had injuries last year and he had a bad, you know, year last year, I mean, this is a guy who has scored 30 goals four times in his career, and he's top 20, like, I don't know, like, I have to look that up, but it's like six, seven times or eight times in his career. So he can score goals. And I think that he also he plays more of a two-way game than people realize. And he's also not bad on the boards when he's healthy.
Right.
So that's going to be the key, is when he's healthy. If he is healthy coming in here and he's only making $800,000 against the cap, I could see him playing his way into that, potentially into that that second line with Kane. But if not, I mean, he's another guy that would be a plus player, I think, you know, on like that third line.
All righty, Brian. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up with you.
Yes, thanks for having me on, guys.
Take care, Brian.
That's Brian Hedger. All right. Want to thank everyone connected to the show. Thanks for calling, texting, emailing. Most of all, thanks a ton for listening.
Have a great day, everyone. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning, live at 5. Please join us.
And happy birthday to Dustin. His birthday was last Friday. Is that right? And we haven't even done any of the fun stuff we do.
Spanking yes. machine at 9:05.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.